like the Hunger Games.
It's just kind of Hunger Games-ish. All right. Alfred, tell us when you're ready. Okay. All right, well, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for that message. We have a few questions for you. By the way, this is Trisha, Eric's wife. And actually, Eric, Trisha, and I all went to college at the same time. And we're the same year, so good times in college. Just to start it off, maybe you guys could just share a little bit about who you are and what you're doing in life right now. And then we'll get into the questions. Just a couple minutes with that.
I'm just interning here and going to the seminary.
Maybe a little bit beyond what I shared. Where did you grow up?
Okay. That's not okay. I grew up in Diamond Bar, so anybody?
DBHS. Francis, don't be ashamed, dude.
Yeah, Francis is more like from Walnut. Or something.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I grew up in SCBC Walnut, so. All right, you guys are not cheering me on. I went to UCLA, and I moved to Torrance to work, and then I ended up at Lighthouse, and I went to seminary.
He still is in seminary.
I'm still in seminary. Go ahead.
I'm Trisha, and I grew up in Roland Heights, and we currently reside in Torrance. I went to UCLA to pursue a music degree, so I got my music performance degree and music education, so that's what I'm doing right now. I teach at a preschool to 8 private Christian school in the Palisades, and I worked with LAUSD for 2 years before I got fired. No, pink slipped. That's it.
All right, thanks, guys. Okay, so this is a question that everyone wants to know. Eric, how did we meet? No, I'm just kidding. It's actually, how did you and Trisha meet, and kind of how did that whole thing happen?
Okay, yeah, this is a kind of interesting story. It's not long, but it's interesting. So Trisha and I are kind of one of those cold contact dating people. I only really hung out with Trisha when we did worship team together for a semester at UCLA. We never hung out besides that. Maybe in groups, but not even that much, really. And then I just decided that I wanted to date her. So I asked her, and I said, I would like to get into a dating relationship for the purpose of marriage. And and the rest is history.
Anything to add for that?
That's like the SparkNotes version. If you want to find out, I can tell you the full-on juicy detail one later. Not recorded, though.
Okay. Thank you, guys. What were some of the difficulties that you guys had in your relationship? If any of you like to share a little bit on how you worked through them.
You should probably start.
Well, I am the more romantic person, and Eric is known as Mr. Practical. So that's something that we had to overcome. When we were dating, I think a bulk of our conversations and even disagreements came from, well, hey, Trisha, you shouldn't want this, and we should be pursuing this. And they're all really good because he wanted to encourage me to think about more eternal things and things that were of God. And I wanted to be satisfied emotionally. I wanted him to care for me. One instance, I know, right? He knows it's coming. When we were dating earlier in our dating years, he was still learning, and I was going through a really difficult time, and I was just sobbing. And I was like, you know what? I just want to be comforted. He goes, be comforted. But he's come a long way since then, so praise God. But I mean, things like that.
There is hope for every guy.
There is hope.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like she was saying, I was immature in a lot of ways. Like, I wasn't good at caring for her and trying to love her. But I think some of the challenges were dealing with some things we talked about here. I mean, we had struggles with me trying to learn how to lead her. I think, had a wrong view of leading. I thought it was just theological. I wanted to change her mind on a lot of issues. I wanted her to think just like me. And that caused a lot of arguments and struggles. And even times when I just thought, well, if she's not going to change this way, then we got to break up or something.
And we did.
That's just a short footnote.
Because we're obviously together.
Yeah. To clarify, it's not a joke. They actually did break up for a while, and they got back together.
Yeah, we broke up for like a month. Not that long. But yeah, so those are a lot of the struggles. A misunderstanding of what it meant to lead and thinking that it was just trying to change her and mold her into my image.
All right, that's good. You know, funny story. Well, it's actually not funny at all. But it's funny in retrospect now that they're married and stuff. I remember Eric just broke up with Trisha, and he didn't even talk to anyone. I'm like, we're your bros, man, me and Chris, G. And he just didn't tell us. And then 1 month, he just came back later, and he's like, we're dating again. I'm like, why did you tell us that either? You got to talk to your bros about this. All right, anyway. Okay, another question. This is a good question, too. You talked a lot about maybe the kind of the theology behind submission and what it is and what it's not. But what are some, like, what does that look like practically in your guys' home or just in the home?
I think Eric touched upon this a little bit. He said he used the word help, and that's definitely what I like to do. I love to help him. I'm not very confident in the kitchen, but I'm a very good helper. Like, Eric loves to be in the kitchen. So that's like a really practical way. Anything that he needs, even down to ironing his shirt, even though he did it himself today, but something small, like waking him up in the morning. That's actually really big for him, but practical little tiny things that you would think as women we would think as insignificant. It could be speak volumes for a guy.
So. Yeah, I would agree. Practically, that's Trisha really helps me to do everything that I do. Right, she makes it easier, or she makes it even possible. Like the way she was saying, a lot of things I do wouldn't be possible if I wasn't there, right? If I didn't wake up and go. But beyond that, I think Trisha's really good at practically submitting, like I was mentioning, in areas of preference where she's not going to hold on to, like, we need to do this way just because my family did it that way or things like that. And even sometimes that happens, and we struggle through that. But generally, I think that's where a real practical place is. In marriage relationship, you're going to have those struggles where your family did things completely differently than the other family. That's probably one of the most common struggles.
You guys have like a specific example?
Yeah, my family is
independent.
Yeah, very independent. So I don't like to tell people what I'm doing. Like, I didn't tell him I broke up. I don't like to tell Trisha what I'm doing all the time. And I think early on that was hard. And it probably still is hard. And I'm trying to learn. But I think that's just an area in which Trisha doesn't come down hard on me. You know, I think a lack of submission can be manifested in the way you react to different situations. Right, where you're trying to, in the same way that I was trying to mold Trisha into my image theologically, a lot of times wives or girlfriends or even girlfriends, just friends that are girls, can try to mold you into their image in terms of what you're doing and try to get you, manipulate you to do things, and Trisha doesn't do that, especially when it's not something that she feels I'm doing wrong, when it's just something that's a preference.
All right. A question that we got from a few people is, you talked about submitting to your own husband, but what do you do, like, kind of in that in-between stage of, like, dating or even engaged? What does submission look like then? Does that make sense?
Yeah, just don't submit to him. Why? We don't have to submit to him. He's not your husband yet. But I say that with a grain of salt. You want to develop a spirit of submission. And that sounds really, like, freaky to me, because that's what people who are like, defending child abuses and stuff talk about, right? So I'm not talking about that, like you're somehow trying to subdue yourself or not have rights or anything like that. But in that in-between stage, the reason you are pursuing marriage with this guy is because he is someone that you think could be your husband, right? And if that's the case, I think just practically and realistically, you're going to want to grow in learning to submit to him in his particular maybe quirks or the things that are different from the way you would do things. And I don't know how that might work out in your specific situation, but it's not going to be that you just aren't submitting at all. You're just trying to turn him into the guy you want him to be, and then hopefully when you get married, then you can submit to him because you made him this awesome guy or something. I don't know if that makes sense.
Okay. Anything to add, Trisha, to that? All right. Okay, another question is, you talked about like functioning in a marriage relationship the right way, but there's two sides to that coin. So what are some practical ways, like specific ways for you guys, Stu and you, Eric, that you love Trisha like Christ loves the church, or try to do that?
I don't know. I don't want to toot my own horn.
Make sure you can share.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little awkward.
Eric definitely encourages me to pursue Christ, not when we're together all the time, but on my own as well. I shouldn't rely on him to feed me all the time. I have to actually be in the Word on my own, be in prayer for those around me, have lady friendships with the women here at church, and not just be holed up at home and want to spend all my time with him, which I love. But I'm really seeing, through Eric, I really appreciate, and I am spurred on towards wanting to develop more godly relationships with the women here at church. And like Eric said, the girls that are here right now, you are so blessed to be at Lighthouse, because these women, I mean, your advisors, I look up to them too, and they're fantastic. They're not married, but oh, Christine is now. Yay!
Steph's married.
Oh, and Steph. Oh, hi, Steph. But these women are just fantastic examples of, first of all, being content in their singleness, yes, but submitting to the elders and leadership here at church and loving you guys. That's really cool to be able to sit under the leadership and teaching of these women, and of course men too. So.
Yeah, one practical way that is, I'll just give it to you straight. So sometimes Trisha asks me to do things and I really don't want to do it. For example, and this is like, it sounds like stupid, but it's like simple things like, hey, can you get me like a towel, or can you get me this thing that's up on the top shelf? And my sinful nature, I really don't, especially if it interrupts me. I really don't want to do it. And you guys may understand, I think guys are like this. If it interrupts what I'm doing, if I'm just doing nothing, sure, I'll do it. But if it interrupts like some work I'm doing, that's probably one of the hardest areas to try to love Trisha as Christ loves the church, and to put away my own, I don't know, desire for comfort. And the funny thing is, I always tell Trisha to do things when she's doing important stuff, and she always does it right away. And so that's one practical area, I think, of growth that I still need to grow in, but an area where I feel like God is sanctifying me to love her as Christ loves the church.
Thanks for sharing. That was good. Another thing, for some of the, this is for guys and girls, I guess, but how would you advise acting out men's and women's roles outside of the context of marriage, especially for people who feel like they'll never get married or aren't planning on that? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I guess if you're not planning on getting married, I've read some books or a book with some essays from different people, and a couple of them are by older single ladies who've kind of gone through life and they don't expect to get married anymore. And I think the one thing that they all pointed to is, and this is kind of a gray area, but they talk about just embracing femininity, not feminism or not necessarily like the culture's terms for it, but embracing who God's made you to be. And this goes for men too as well. That means, Elizabeth Elliot was married at a time, but she spent a lot of her time, her life, single. She spent a lot of time married to different people too. I don't know, she's confusing. She had like four husbands, but she was single for like 30 years.
Four husbands at different times.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
But other women were also writing about this, and I think, yeah, they were just talking about this, and I can't speak from personal experience. I'm sure it's difficult, but they talked about just embracing femininity and embracing the way that your femininity allows you to relate to people in a way that men can't. I think that there is a truth to that, right? There's ways in which you as a girl can relate to both girls and guys and children and elderly people in ways that a brother wouldn't be able to do the same way. And same thing goes for men in investing in guys and being able to, invest in your relationships while embracing your feminism or your masculinity that God has given you. Or anything?
Okay, we got two more, and then we'll wrap it up. So you guys have some last-minute questions to text me, or text that number, I mean. One question is, you talked about being attracted to the right things. What are some of those things, and specifically, what are some of those things that attract you to Trisha? This is a real question. I didn't make it up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't claim to be, awesome, or I don't claim that I was awesome either. So, obviously, I was attracted to Trisha because she's very beautiful. It's one of those fish that got snatched up early. there were good things. You know, I mean, okay, every guy, is like, yeah, she just has, a really sweet, gentle spirit and stuff when you like a girl because she's pretty. So you say that stuff.
Okay, he says that now, but it was not love at first sight. He hated my hair. It was well known that he hated my hair. Yeah. He was like, who's that girl with orange hair that has hair split down the middle? I mean, no offense, if you have hair split down the middle, yay, but he really didn't like it.
That was interesting hair, though.
Well, you know, when you dye your hair red, okay, maybe not, but I dyed my hair red.
Your hair was red.
It was senior year in high school, I dyed my hair red, and then when the roots grow out and everything just kind of fades, it became orange. That's it. I did dye it orange.
Yeah. yeah. I can hardly remember Trisha before with her red hair. But I guess one area which, I mean, I wasn't completely, I think, superficial when I was attracted to Trisha. I think one of the things that attracted me to her, like I said, we were kind of long distance, right? From a distance, I observed her. And what I observed, I think, that attracted me to her in terms of biblical things is that kind of, I think, willingness to follow. Right? She was on worship team with me, and we were in the same class, and I think just I saw that there was a willingness to follow and to support people and what they did. And I think by nature Trisha has a very nurturing, she wants to take care of her friends and take care of her her family, and so I saw those things from a distance, and I think I was attracted to those. How about for me?
No, I don't think we have time for that, actually. Sorry. I know there's a long list, probably. Last question, and this might be kind of opening up a can of worms, so if you guys are more interested in this topic, you could talk to Eric or Brian or me, I guess, about this. What do you think about women's roles in the church? Especially, women who are already ordained as pastors right now. Mm. Any thoughts on that?
Trisha used to be a pastor. So. That's why I tried to change her theology. I think that, I'm not speaking for the elders, so don't tell them what I said. No, but I think that you have to understand the New Testament, things are different. It's not the same as the Old Testament. Remember I said briefly that your identity is not in being a wife, right, as a woman. I actually think in the Old Testament it kind of was. I think that's kind of the focus of everything. The New Testament portrays being a godly wife in a very positive light. Proverbs 31, woman is a positive light for how a woman who's pursuing Christ can do that in that situation. For women who are in ministry already, it's not an area where I would be confident to tell them that they need to get out of that ministry or somehow they're going to cause like a disaster on the church, right? But I would encourage them to consider the passages which talk about male headship in the church, right? And I think that may be an area of sanctification for them. But it's nuanced, and you have to make a distinction really between areas of outright disobedience to God's word. That would be areas where you would want to discipline someone in the church, or maybe an area where they feel like they've wrestled with the scripture and they've dealt with those passages and they've come to a conclusion that it is okay. That may sound confusing to you. It may open a can of worms, but I think that you have to do that when you're in theological disagreement with people, right? Is the reason because they're being disobedient to God's word, or because they've searched the scriptures and they are trying to do what they believe the Bible is telling them to do? And those are two different things. And I think that there's a lot of grace there. There's even God's grace over sins that we commit out of ignorance, disobedience that we do in ignorance. You would have to hope that that same grace would be extended to you if you're in error and fault as well. But I do believe that the scriptures teach that men are supposed to be in positions of authority in the church.
All right. Just to close, any final exhortation for the girls to pursue biblical womanhood or for the guys to support them in that? If not, I mean, it's okay.
I don't know if any. I feel like I've done all the talking. Because I have. Yeah, I think one thing that's really helpful, this is something John Piper always says. He says it's not good for you to think that somehow different roles means that women are weaker or worse or anything like that. But to understand that each of us, individually and even as groups or as men or women, are weak in some ways and strong in other ways. Men may be weak in areas of lust, where women are generally stronger in. And so when you are thinking about trying to pursue biblical womanhood, I think the thing you're going to have to struggle with, if you're struggling with this, is to not think that God is consigning you to a worse position. That God is consigning you to something that is less important, or that is somehow because you are not able to do what a man's able to do. It's not any of those things, but it is that God has designed something that is for your joy and for his glory. And that's for the men and the women. Men who don't want to lead, right, understand that it's not that God wants you to be unhappy as a leader. He doesn't want you to be this grudging leader who's trying to lead his wife even though he's not meant, or he's not made for it. You are made for it. God has made you to live this way for your joy and for his glory. That would be my exhortation.
All right, thanks, guys. Thank you, Eric and Tricia, for coming out tonight. We're going to pray, and then we'll have a break for a little bit, and then we will go into our respective studies. Okay, so let me pray for us. Father, we come before you asking you for grace. Lord, it is difficult for all of us here to live in accordance with your word. Lord, all of us are sinful. All of us are weak and slow to follow you, Lord, and we need your help and your guidance. We need your spirit to work in our hearts, Father, that we might live in obedience to you and to your word and to what you have called us to do. Father, we're thankful for what your word has to say about our roles as men and women. Lord, we're thankful that you have given us a clear blueprint in this way, and we pray, Father, that you'll help us to look into your word, Father, to study it and to apply what it says to the way that we view ourselves, Lord, and our roles. Father, I pray for all of the college students here tonight and the advisors and for Eric and Tricia. I pray for all of us, Lord, that you help us to be more conformed to Christ's image, Lord, and to remember what Eric talked about at the end of the message, Father, that submitting to him and looking to him and loving him is the most important thing. Father, that's the foundation of our lives, and we pray, Father, that you help us to do that. Thank you so much, God, for everything that you bless us with. We're thankful for this time. We praise you in Christ's name.